Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Arnold is in hot water over trying to get an expensive watch into Germany, and Southwest is making an onboard improvement that is bound to be a winner for many. Those stories and more next in the news.
At 11:20 in our Smarter Traveler segment, we'll tell you how to avoid increasingly common rideshare overcharges. And Travelers United announces a guide for those who use assistive devices while traveling, you know, things like walkers, cane scooters, and the like. It's a great resource, and we'll tell you all about it.
At 11:35, we run down a former flight attendant's tips for civil travel on planes. Some are goofy, but I confess, some of them are eye-opening. And we'll talk about a new night train in Europe.
In our batch of odds and ends at 11:50, we'll tell you which planes in the U.S. have the most and the least legroom in economy. You're going to be surprised who's at the top of the most legroom list.
It's another rainy January weekend in Sacramento. Time to dream about future trips to wonderful places. Welcome to The Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Hey there, welcome everyone to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you every Saturday at 11. You can find us at TravelGuysRadio.com. And good morning to you, Mark. How was your week?
It was busy. At Sports Leisure Vacations, our business runs in cycles that evolve around when we notify our customers, our travelers, our mailing list of what's new and what's coming up. And we sent out a newsletter on Friday afternoon or Thursday afternoon to some and Friday afternoon. And so it was busy. It was busy. Also, I did a speaking engagement Tuesday night out at the Springfield Travel Club. Nice group of folks out in Rockland, and want to thank them for inviting me. Several came up and said they were Travel Guys listeners. So that's always nice. Always, that little ego stroke is always a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And so thank you for listening. And it was a pleasure to come out and speak to you. And if your group is looking for a speaker and you'd like to have a travel guy come out and speak, why, I would be more than happy to do it if it fits into my schedule. You can go to TravelGuysRadio.com and just send a little note and say, hey, my whatever your group is and whatever date or whatever you're looking for, and I'd be more than happy to come out and share a little wisdom with your prospective travelers also. There's no charge, and I'm really not there to sell anything, just to share information and tell you a little bit about our radio program.
Awesome. Well, that sounds like quite a deal. Well, good for you, yeah. Mark, and good for the folks that you had a chance to speak to this past week. If you're new to the program or if you're a regular listener, we always bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. And let's get started. And with today's travel news, once again, Mark, what you got for us?
Well, Tom, you know, I had this last week because actually this came up a couple days before the program last week and it got shuffled to the side and I forgot all about it. Pea Soup Anderson's closed one of their locations. If you've been a traveler on the road in California for any time in the last half century or so, Pea Soup Anderson's is one of those kind of iconic roadside places that lots and lots of folks carry as markers, you know, because when they went certain places, they stopped certain places on the road. And Pea Soup Anderson's is one of them. Granzella's up in Williams is one of them. I mean, I'm sure lots of people have the nut tree for hundreds of thousands of years since people were in wagon trains were what was a place to stop. Everybody has, you know, some people just have a favorite McDonald's or something they stop whenever they're headed someplace. And Pea Soup Anderson's was one of those places. The good news is not all of them are gone, but the bad news is that one of them down on the Central Coast in a town called Buellton, which is just outside of Solvang on Highway 101, is no more. So that's kind of sad, but the good news is that not all of the Pea Soup Andersons have called it a day. Carnival Cruise Line says that they rang in the new year with a record booked position. That's Travelease for business is really good at Carnival Cruise Lines. They have more people on the books for cruises percentage-wise to the inventory that they have than ever before. Carnival Cruise last year, they were proud to announce they cruised at 100%. Some months they were at 102 or 103% of capacity. And you might say, how could a ship be at 102% of capacity?
Right.
Well, that's because double cabins that had three or four people in them.
Huh.
So be like a hotel might have sold every room, but some of the rooms have more than two people in them. So on the cruise ship's way of thinking, that's what knocks them over 100%. So if you see a cruise line bragging that they had over 100% capacity, that's how they made it there. But nonetheless, that means that last year Carnival sold darn near every cabin they could get their hands on. And it means that this year they're selling them too. And what it also means for cruiser, people who cruise is that if you're thinking on about going on a cruise this year, you need to stop thinking perhaps and start acting if you want to have any kind of options available to you. Okay, last week, not too long before our program went on the air, the night before, an Alaska Airlines airplane had a problem with a door that flew off, a fake door that flew off. It raised some questions. One of them, this is, Tom, when I saw this, I thought, wow, this is fascinating. It was fascinating that Rich Tomaselli at one of our travel resources, one of our news sources, Rich writes for them, and he had a wonderful little thing about, what about infants and lap children?
Oh, no.
What,
no, don't even want to think about
what
that.
What if you were on that, since it ripped some of the, literally ripped some of the padding off some of the seats next to the door that flew off, the opening that came on the plane, what if somebody had been holding a lap child somewhere near there? Would it not have been, I mean, that's kind of gruesome to think about, but it's entirely possible that that depressurization real quickly could have caused a real emergency there. So it's an interesting, that subject has come up for a while. For those of you who don't know, we're talking about if children under two can be carried babes in arms on airplanes. And so you don't have to buy a seat for an infant under the age of two, which I can't even, God bless every mother and father who have ever done that. Cause I can't even imagine taking an infant under two on a plane and having to hold on to it the entire time. But nonetheless, and it, just an interesting thought that Rich brought up, that just to say at Travel Pulse is where he writes, and saying, gee, you know, is it time that we look at this again? Because this could have been a real disaster. Just something to think about. Speaking of airplane disasters, you know that Japanese airplane that ran into a Japanese Coast Guard plane on the runway a couple of weeks ago? And, you know, all the folks got out of an airplane that later caught on fire and literally burned to the ground. Everyone was all amazed about that, but in the what-if department that we were just talking about with the babes in arms, it took almost 18 minutes after the plane originally, a point of impact, until the last crew member left the aircraft. Now, everybody got off okay, and by most reports, people were very obedient. They didn't try to take carry-on luggage with them. They followed instructions. It sounds like the evacuation of the airplane went about as good as it could have gone. However, the last crew member stepped off the plane 18 minutes after impact. Do you know what the standard is for evacuating a full-size aircraft in the United States? 90 seconds.
Wow.
90 seconds. Took them 18 minutes and everything went well. 90 seconds. I would say it's time to rethink how many people. They've crammed so many people onto airplanes that 90 seconds is not going to happen.
I don't know how that could
minutes
even
was,
happen.
Was, yeah, 18 minutes was probably kind of realistic, don't you think?
I agree.
I mean, for 180 people to get off of a burning airplane when they, you know, they didn't know exactly what exits were available to them and stuff. Anyway, something, food for thought there. If you're going to Venice, we talked about this last week. Venice entry fee tickets are now on sale. If you're going to Venice and you want to go into the Old Town part of Venice, there are a number of days, about 100 of them basically, Between April 25th and July 14th, which is what they consider the high season there, where you will have to pay to enter certain parts of Venice. If you go to travelguysradio.com, we have a link that will help explain to you how the system all works. If you're just transferring trains or something like that in Venice, you don't have to pay. But if you're going into Old Town, they've got it set up so that basically you're going to have to buy a ticket, and they're trying to control the number of people and also the type of people who visit. So we'll see how this goes, and we'll report back to you. But if you know anybody who's headed to Venice, don't let them be surprised that they have to buy a ticket to get in. Arnold Schwarzenegger had a bad week.
Oh,
poor
no.
guy.
Yeah. What did Arnold do? What happened to Arnold?
You didn't hear about this?
I heard it in the headlines at the beginning of the show.
Yeah. Arnold was detained for several hours at the Munich airport because he tried to smuggle in. Well, he didn't. That's poor reporting. Tried to smuggle in is not correct. He was in possession of a very expensive watch, and he didn't declare it. And his intention was that it was going to be auctioned off at a fundraiser that he was attending the following night. Why he didn't declare it, there would have been a duty paid on it. It was apparently in his bag. They apparently did a random search, which is a little suspicious because kind of everybody would recognize Schwarzenegger. I mean, he's very tall. He's very distinctive. He was in Munich, for God's sake. So I'm going to guess that some people knew who he was. Kind of interesting that they randomly searched his bag. It kind of seems to indicate folks online were speculating that perhaps he had mentioned this on the airplane and somebody knew that he was carrying this. Nonetheless, there was quite a duty that needed to be paid, and taking it in, if he was taking it out, I'm guessing there would have been a duty on the way out too. But anyway, our former governor, who might have been completely innocent and just taken the watch to give it away and didn't know the rules, but, you know, for a guy who's had to have been an international traveler for most of his life, he's 76 years old now, if that was a mistake that he made by accident, then that was just stupidity. And sorry, Arnold, but whatever happens, happens. I mean, you got to be smarter than that when you're traveling with, I don't know, but I've never had a watch that was appraised at $26,000. My Apple Watch, I think, is worth a few hundred. It's kind of old now and doesn't work perfectly, but... one more story here that was in the headlines. Southwest is finally coming up with power to the seats.
So you
can charge something on the plane. Now, before you get all excited.
Okay.
Yeah.
That kind of power.
Yeah, I know you fly Southwest. Before you get all excited, it's only, they've got 817 planes. As of the first of the year, 17 of them had this on them. You're not getting power plugs. You're getting USB ports.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be able to plug a USB port in, but you won't be able to plug a full-fledged power thing into the plane and recharge something besides a phone, something like that. If it's something electronic and it goes into a USB port, then you'll be in business. Southwest says they're ramping up the number of planes that they're putting this into, 17 out of 817 at the first of the year. So your chances of running into this power on the plane in the next couple months is not good. But Southwest says that they hope by the end of the year to have these installed in all of their airplanes. And that, folks, is your travel news for today.
And we're Mark and Tom, the travel and entertainment guys. You know, a few weeks ago, there was a big story about the Dungeness crab season because they weren't fishing because they had got caught three turtles in their nets. And so it delayed the Dungeness crab season until actually a week ago, this past Thursday, rather. So right now, Rudy's at Rudy's Hideaway is the place for wholesale, fresh, cracked, clean Dungeness crab. If you need 30 or more for a big event, or you're thinking about having a specialized crab feed, full service, Rudy's is the place to get your crab. Call 916-351-0606. And, of course, Rudy's Hideaway is starting the new year with the Travel Guy Special, Mark.
Ooh, still going, huh?
Yes. $29.95 for a 6-ounce lobster tail, rice pilaf, fresh vegetables, drawn butter, and sourdough. And I don't know if you can order it for lunch, but I certainly would. So
anyway, I tell you what.
Yeah.
For a 6-ounce lobster and a veggie and all that stuff, $30, that's got to be about the best deal that you could possibly run into.
Stop by Rudy's Hideaway today. Don't forget to ask for the Travel Guys special lobster deal. And tell them Mark and Tom sent you, and we'll see you there.
Well, let me preface this with saying, you mentioned it, this came from Chris Elliott. Elliott, two L's and two T's, .org. Chris is a huge consumer advocate, and if you've got a big problem, especially as it relates to travel, you can't get a refund, you can't get somebody to call you back, because and you've got some kind of an issue with them, something like that, Elliott.org is a place you can go. He's got a membership thing set up there, but you can get help with consumer issues without being a member. So anyway, that's just a resource you can look at. Ride shares. Chris reports that Uber and Lyft passengers are increasingly contacting his group and asking how they can help them because they've been overcharged for a ride and they can't get the rideshare company to respond. They can't get the rideshare company to acknowledge. They're basically saying, look, you know, I pulled up the ride. It said it was going to be $35. And when it came up on my bill, it was $110. So what's going on here? And the ride share company's only response has been, well, you know, it was surge pricing. And so you got hit for a little more. So Chris says, here's the deal. It's just like the rental car thing. Remember when we say when you're renting a car, take pictures before you rent the car, take pictures when you take the car back, so that if the car rental company comes and says, hey, you know, there was this or that wrong with the car, you could say, hey, I don't think so. I've got the proof. And there's a way you can help yourself when it comes to ride shares this way also. And Chris says, take a picture of the screen. Take a screenshot of the ride share when they respond to you and say, all right, we've ordered a car for you, it's on its way, and here's what it's going to cost, take a picture of that screen, because that shows not only the cost, but it also shows the route mm-hmm. that was somewhat agreed upon, when that was what that price was based on. So, I mean, obviously, if you may ask the driver to stop and do something else or go a different direction, add a stop, change your route, whatever, then you're going to change the price. But if you get in the car and you ride from point A to point B and you get there and you get billed for $10 more or $20 more, or in some cases it's $50 or $100 more than it was supposed to, and then you get into these situations where you're working with these technology-based companies and they don't have any way for you to contact them. You know, send us an email and we'll get back to you by email. Well, they answer and say, well, you know, we've decided that not so much. And so now you've got to go through the whole process again. It's the one thing about technology that bothers me is the lack of ability to be able to talk to somebody. I don't have a huge problem with sending somebody an email and saying, I have an issue. But when I get an email back that says, well, here's what we think about your issue, and it's closed. And it's like, well, wait a minute. You know, I don't really feel that I got to state my case there. So that's what Chris Elliott is there to help you with. And if you do a lot of ride sharing, just take a picture of that screen. You can throw it away, you know, as soon as you get your bill and you see that that's what you were charged. But some folks are reporting that they say they're going to be charged and what they're actually charged are not exactly matching up.
Yeah, and if you don't know how to take a screenshot with your phone, meaning basically it's a picture of what it is that you're looking at on your phone. Androids and iPhones are a little different, but basically it's a combination of pushing the on and off button and the volume button at the same time. You'll hear a little click. You've probably done that by accident. You go back and you're looking at your pictures and you go, why don't I have a picture of my screensaver? Or whatever it is, and then that's how it happened. But either that, or ask one of your kids or your grandkids, and they'll show you how.
There you go. Our second item here in the Smarter Traveler segment comes from Travelers United, and it came to them from the National Council on Aging (NCOA). They have put together a mobility friendly travel guide. And this is something I travel with a lot of mature adults. Some of them use canes and walkers to get around. We don't have much in the way of scooters and wheelchairs and stuff because our tours are a little bit too active for folks with that type of a disability. But there are many people with those disabilities who do travel on some level. A lot of them do cruises. Lots of folks, like I said, walkers, canes, things like that, who can still get around fairly well, just a little slower. What has been produced here is a travel guide for folks who travel with some type of assistive device. So it talks about how you can what you need to do in order to make sure that your needs are being taken care of, who is by law required to provide certain things and who not. So this entire booklet is available to you free. Travelers United are the ones that turned us onto it. If you go to travelguysradio.com, there should be a link there so that you can get yourself to that information. And it's really, really, really valuable here. It talks about everything from TSA PreCheck and navigating different parts of different airports. It'll tell you how to find restroom facilities and the like that are for handicapped folks. It will tell you all kinds of information. Heck, there's even information that people who don't use assistive devices probably would find good there. But maybe you've got – maybe grandma or mom is coming to visit on a holiday, or you're going to take her on some kind of a vacation or something like that, or your parents, and you're concerned about some of these things. Here is a way for you to be able to do your homework ahead of time. And, you know, homework is always the best way to do it, rather than just get to the airport and hope that somebody can help you or the situation will work out okay, or assume that they will, that the system is set up for you, because sometimes it's supposed to be, but sometimes it's not. You know, if you go to New York City and you're riding the subway, there's an elevator at almost every subway station, and only about a third of them work at any given on any given day. So it's really not very dependable. I mean, you can argue whether or not they're making an honest effort to provide those services, but the realities are what you're dealing with when you're traveling. Anyways, if you use any type of assistive device when you travel, go to travelguysradio.com and find the Travelers United booklet that will help you tremendously.
Mark, were you good at doing your homework?
No, I wasn't. But I will tell you something. When I've gotten into business, I've realized the importance of it.
All right. Thanks for coming along. We got lots of stuff to cover. Don't forget now, go to travelguysradio.com. There is a place there you can leave questions that we will later answer a large share of them on the radio. It's called the mailbag. Yeah. And yes. We're going to be doing that again very soon.
Yes, we are, because after the last mailbag segment last week, a whole lot of you sent in questions. You know what I noticed, Tom? The longer the show has been on the air, I don't know why this is, but the longer show is on the air, the better quality the travel questions are. you know what was really the funniest thing about the mailbag and the travel questions was, for several years, one of the things that was asked the most was how – is the TSA going to find my weed, and what's going to happen to me if they do? I swear to you that every third or fourth question that came in was some variation of that. And sometimes people would really disguise what they were asking, but after a while I knew what it was they were asking. So if you remember, we asked Dale and Sid, the TSA guys, quite a ways back, you know, what's the answer to that question? Because this is something that people want to know. And they answered us very honestly. And I believe the consensus of the whole thing was, look, we're not here to get your personal stash. We're here to protect people who are traveling. So if you're not a drug smuggler and carrying that type of quantity, why, then that's not really what we're looking for. If we run across it by accident, I can't tell you exactly what will happen then. But, you know, unless you're, you know, flaunting it, why, you're probably – and the funny thing is, as soon as he answered that question on the air, the number of people who asked about that has – now it comes up very, very rarely, maybe once a year.
Okay.
Ever since he answered the question. So it proves to you that information is of great value when you travel. So thanks to our TSA guys. Those guys, Dale and Sid, they are as good as anybody. I guess we'll have to have them on again soon to talk about TSA and stuff. But I love the way they come on and just kind of shoot from the hip and tell us like it is, because it's a lot easier to understand stuff like that. All right. Air travel made better. 20 rules of airplane etiquette nobody ever tells you but should. This is from longtime travel etiquette expert and former flight attendant. And she has some things here to tell you. Some of them I think are pretty good. Some are obvious, some not so much. If you bring food on board, you know, don't bring anything with a highly identifiable or offensive smell.
Wow.
I liked her phrasing there. Offensive smell, obviously, but highly identifiable. In other words, if it smells a lot, I don't care if it's barbecued beef brisket, then it's probably going to be offensive to somebody on the plane, and it's probably not a good idea. So with your food, bring something that is not going to offend other people.
Do you have a particular food odor that would fall into that category where you're going, I think I need to move. I can't handle this smell.
Almost anything but seafood in particular.
Okay. Anything
prepared seafood.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, that's really a bad news.
Well, everybody has a particular odor that if they're not eating it, it's offensive if somebody else is. Like Doritos.
That's the deal.
You know? I mean, I can handle the smell of Doritos as long as I'm having some.
If you're a vegan and the person in front of you opens up a beef brisket sandwich and it's smelling up half the airplane, then that's probably not a smell that you're particularly fond of. So the point here is that, you know, bring yourself a bag of shelled pistachios or, you know, something like that, something that has some protein in it that you can eat on the plane, your favorite candy bar, something like that, that won't stink out the other people in your row, in your section, on your aircraft. Here's one I think is kind of, I don't really agree with this. She says, wipe down the sink in the lavatory and leave it in better condition than you found it.
No.
Don't treat it like your own bathroom.
Yeah.
Well, if you've ever been in an airplane restroom, unless you're the first or second person in there, it's pretty much a matter of survival and get out. I'm not going to clean up after other people. That's out of the question. If you have to swap seats with someone, make sure the new seat is comparable with the one you've been assigned. We've talked about this before. She says, don't assume you're entitled to an upgrade just because you paid for a cheap seat and you want to sit with a family member in a more expensive seat. So not necessarily first class, but with economy plus, you see a lot of this. You know, mom is up here and she wants daughter, who she bought a seat for in the back, to sit next to you, to her, and she wants to trade seats with you. Well, you know, that's not going to happen. So if you're trading seats, you want to trade things of equal value. She talks about reclining seats here. You know, airline seats don't hardly recline at all anymore. But if you get one that does recline a little bit, it's a good idea to take a peek behind you and let the person know that you're coming back. They don't necessarily have the right to refuse you to do that. But if somebody was 6'7" behind you and their legs were already wedged up against your seat, why, you might reconsider that situation. Or maybe they're working on their computer or something like that, and a little warning would be helpful to them. It talks about if your seatmate is wearing headphones, that's the do not disturb sign. She talks about airplanes being no place to practice your agility skills. You know, don't try to do a 9-minute yoga workout in the aisle, no matter what your guru told you would be appropriate. Nobody wants to see your different parts of your body and all of that kind of stuff. Control your children. She says it's wise for parents or guardians to bring plenty of games, toys, and snacks to amuse your child. Crying babies are an exception, as they may have aching ears. The crying helps alleviate the pressure. So does a bottle of milk, water, juice, or Benadryl. Here's one. This is a pet peeve of mine. Avoid grabbing the back of someone's seat when you sit down, get up, or walk down the aisle.
Oh, yeah.
Now, there are some people who can't get out of the seat unless they grab the seat in front of them, so they get a pass.
Okay.
But you're sound asleep, and the guy behind you decides to get up and use the restroom, and he grabs onto your seat, and it moves just enough that it wakes you up. So
when he lets go of it, it slings you against the seat in front of you, right? There's a visual for you.
If you can't lift your own bag, I've seen this and read this many times before. If you can't lift your carry-on bag into the overhead and you have to depend on someone else to do it, then you should have checked that bag.
Mm-hmm.
There's no medication or emergency item that you couldn't have taken out of and carried onto the plane and not have needed that assistance.
They have a size limitations on carry-on bags that you're going to put in the overhead. I think there should be a weight one as well for that very reason.
Oh, yeah. And some airlines have that. Some airlines, especially foreign airlines, will weigh carry-ons in order to keep that from happening.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I've often seen people who can barely get it up there and they can barely get it down. And if I'm there, I'll help them. But if I'm three rows behind, then there's really nothing I can do. And that's a tough thing. Here's one. When the plane hits the tarmac, don't race for the door. Every once in a while, there's somebody like that. Wait for the seatbelt sign to turn off before getting up. Be patient, wait your turn, and file out in the order in which you're seated. If you have a connecting flight to catch, ask politely before trying to skip ahead in the line. This is the person with the two oversized carry-ons, and now they're the person. They're in row 27. And they've got a 40-minute connection. Talk about not doing your homework. And finally, here's one more. Wear your headphones. They come in handy whenever you want to cancel out a crying baby or avoid getting into a conversation like we referred to before. And one more here. If a passenger is ticking you off, don't take matters into your own hands. Ask a flight attendant to step in and be the bad guy. That might be the most important piece of airplane wisdom you'll ever get, especially if you're a guy. Don't try to be macho on the plane. Call the flight attendant. Let her take care of he or she take care of the situation. That way you don't have the authorities waiting for you when the plane lands. All right, let's talk just for a moment here, Tom, before our last break of the program. Europe has, for many, many decades, has had night trains. You can travel just like you can travel on red-eye flights in the United States. You can travel on red-eye trains in Europe. And there is one new one that has come up. It's called the Night Jet. And this is just a review that I ran across in the Washington Post. And she talked about this train, but she also talked about the fact that traveling on the trains by night is not only, in some cases, cheaper. Of course, if you're getting a compartment or something, you may find it a little more expensive. But she says, more room, fewer people, better on-time record. So if you're willing to travel overnight, that's a way to see Europe. This is called the Night Jet Sleeper Train. It connects Vienna to Hamburg. Vienna to Hamburg. And the writer was talking about how this new train has private compartments. She said they are very tiny, but if you don't mind getting into what kind of feels a little bit like a coffin, why then she said you can use a compartment. Otherwise, you may be better off just in a regular seat. But if you're headed to Europe, the point here is that one way to get around in Europe is to ride the train at night.
The Night Train, 1951, night train. Jimmy Forrest. Also covered by James Brown song.
Yes.
Night Train. I won't play it, but I just thought I'd, you know, for those of you that are familiar with the old Night Train, played by every four-piece rock and roll band in the 50s and 60s. Well, okay. That's some good stuff, Mark. Thank you for that. I'm quite anxious to hear about this. Uh-huh. Who has the most and least leg room in economy?
I sent Sarah a chart, so hopefully I didn't get a chance to check online before we went on the air, but hopefully this is up online, and so you can kind of see it. The chart's a little fuzzy, but I'll share with you. As you would expect, the airline with the least amount of legroom of the seven U.S. airlines that are matched up here is Frontier Airlines. They are what is referred to as an ultra-low-cost carrier. They charge you for everything once you get on bringing a bag and picking a seat and all of that kind of stuff. Spirit Airlines is at the same spot, 28 inches in between. Now, this is 28 inches between the front of one seat and the front of the next seat. So this isn't the 28 inches between the front of your seat and the back of the seat in front of you. Good Lord, 28 inches would be a lot of room. This is between the front. This is measured from the front of you, of one seat to the front of the next seat. So Frontier Airlines is the least. Hawaiian is next at 29 inches. I gotta believe that that's some sort of combination, Tom. 29 is really skinny for flying 5 hours to Hawaii.
Yeah.
But if you've ever done an inter-island flight with Hawaiian Airlines in the islands, I know there's not 29 inches there. It has to be tighter than that. It's the inter-island flights in Hawaii on Hawaiian are the least amount of legroom I've ever seen. You know that your airline has very little legroom when you're getting on board and they ask you to hold out your hand and they smear a little Crisco on there. And that's so that you can get into your seat when you get down the aisle. Hawaiian at 29 inches. United is next. Now, this is coach. This is non-upgraded coach. So this is where the great unwashed sit. Me, most of the time.
Me too,
30.1 inches for United. American, 30.2. Alaska and Delta, 31. And this is the really big surprise to me, is the airline that finished second. First is JetBlue. They have always had more room. When they started out, they bragged that they had 35 inches between the seats. Now they're down to 32.3, but it still leaves them on top by a half an inch. The 31.8 airline is Southwest.
Wow. You know,
I
think that surprises a lot of people. You know, I fly Southwest almost exclusively. And here again, I'm only formerly 5'10". I'm usually pretty comfortable with what I get on Southwest. But 28.
Yeah, well, 28. The reality is that when you get on a Southwest Airlines plane, on the average, you have almost 2 inches more legroom in coach than you have on United and American, and a full inch more than you have on Alaska and Delta. JetBlue, which, of course, doesn't fly a whole lot of flights into Sacramento, is the leader, has been for a long time. Many people lament that JetBlue isn't the airline that it once was. And speaking of JetBlue and the airline that it once was, they were trying to merge with Spirit, which was kind of a strange combination. An airline known for being a little better at customer service than most, merging with an airline that's known for being a lot worse at customer service intentionally. I mean, their system is set up so that you pay for everything as you go, just like Frontier. A judge blocked this last week. Some media folks in the travel industry have said, well, Spirit was just robbed. I mean, that was just unfair. But I don't think so, because they're pointing out that, well, when United and Continental merged, nobody said anything. When Delta bought who did they buy? The Northern Airlines skipped my head here. Delta got in with Western.
There you go.
We had Northwest was flying out of Minneapolis. Got Delta merged with them. U.S. Air merged with American. America West in with American. So the thing that makes this one a little bit different is that this was a full cost carrier and an ultra low cost carrier. And JetBlue had already said if the merger went through, they were going to get rid of Southwest business model and merge. They wanted the planes and the pilots and the gates. Are huge assets in the airline industry, and there's a huge pilot shortage and a little bit of a plane shortage right now. So those would have been assets they could have used to grow. However, the reason the judge said no to this was because you're taking a carrier that basically is super cheap and that people, if they don't opt in for all of the things that they charge extra for, can fly pretty cheaply, and you're eliminating them from the sky. That would leave only Frontier in that category, would leave Frontier then fair.
And Allegiance, I would think.
And Allegiant, and thank you, Tom. Allegiant isn't in Sacramento, but yes, and Allegiant in some parts of the country. So the judge was hesitant to eliminate a really low cost airline. I would suggest to you that the other mergers that we talked about here didn't involve an ultra low cost carrier and a full cost carrier, and that's why this one was denied. Now, right now, we have also Alaska and Hawaiian up, and I think there's a much better chance that that one goes through. However, Hawaiian shares something in common with Spirit, and that is they're both kind of in financial trouble. People have stopped buying the ultra-low-cost carriers as much. Maybe people have just wised up to the fact that, hey, this wasn't as cheap as it was advertised. By the time I bought all this stuff, I basically paid the same thing I would have paid to fly on an airline where I wouldn't have had all this hassle. So it's possible that travelers are getting smarter and just deciding that, you know, you get what you pay for, and I'm going to pay for a little more. And get a little more. And that may be that Spirit and Frontier's business model is not as attractive to people as it used to be.
And Spirit, as a result of the merger not going through, is suffering. Their stock has taken a real, real dump. And they may very well be in bankruptcy court before you know it.
It could be. There, as you mentioned, their stock went way down when this announcement was made, just as it went way up when the announcement was made that they were going to have the merger. Interestingly enough, JetBlue owes Spirit a $450 million breakup fee. When the merger didn't go through, that was part of their agreement. So Spirit has some cash on hand, a little over $1 billion, I guess, in cash and negotiable instruments. But If it, last quarter they burned through, what was it, they burned through about 20% of that amount. So if they the cash burn rate continues at what it has been for Spirit, you can do the math. They've got about five or six quarters to go. Now, they could declare bankruptcy. They could restructure. Lots of airlines have declared bankruptcy over the years. Listen, the only people who have ever gotten rich, it hasn't really been the stockholders. The people who start the airlines and then can sell them off to somebody else who's willing to buy them. But for right now, no JetBlue and Spirit together in the sky. They will remain separate for right now, and we'll watch that Alaska Hawaiian thing and see what happens there. Of course, Alaska right now has that huge problem. They're having to cancel about 20% of their flights every day because still no update on what happens to the 737-900 MAX, how those inspections are going to come down. We're hoping to hear about that any day, which I'm sure Alaska and United Airlines are hoping to hear about any day, because it's causing a lot of flight cancellations, keeping a lot of planes on the ground. It's wintertime, so not so bad. But if you take those planes out of the sky in the summertime, it's going to mean a serious financial headwind for those airlines and the few international airlines also who use that plane.
You know, we were talking about legroom. Next week, I want to talk about aisle room. Which one has the biggest aisles to get down with all your stuff? Or for that matter, just get through with your body. I mean, if you're carrying a backpack, you better be carrying it in front of you or behind you. Otherwise, you're going to be smacking people in the head.
Yeah. Well, and isn't it interesting when people are boarding and when the plane stops and folks are taking things down out of the overhead, they forget the fact that, you know, there are 19 other people in the aisle within 2 inches of them. And that anything you bring out of the overhead and try to get to the ground is going to be really difficult. So, yeah, it's amazing how what people will go through to save 90 seconds getting off of an aircraft. But I fit into that category, too. Travel does weird things to people. When they get out and they're traveling and they get wound up and it's like, you know, never mind that there's a flight every hour between these two cities. I'm on this one and I've got to be there at this particular time. And it's plus travel is filled with a lot of unknowns. And, you know, you're not really sure what's going to happen every time you go out there. So is the plane really going to go? You know, how many times has the door closed? And then they said, well, we'll just be here a few minutes, folks.
That's half the fun. That's the intrigue as far as I'm concerned. You know, otherwise, you might as well just stay home on the couch if you're not interested in any kind of drama or change.
If you're looking for perfection, it's not in travel. All right. That about wraps it up for another edition here of the Travel Guys on KFBK. We will be back with you again next Saturday at 11 o'clock. In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching.
Stay well, my friends. We'll see you next time. Don't forget TravelGuysRadio.com. Seems to be